The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In John 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." There's one part of this teaching that might seem to say that if conditions aren't met, you could lose your eternal salvation. Is this so? Let's take a careful look at it today on Grace in Focus. We are delighted, friend, that you would join us. This is a radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We live in North Texas, and we'd love for you to know more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. There we have a church tracker, and we have hundreds of articles that you can read, some things that are free, and some books that have a cost. We'd love for you to take a look at our website, faithalone.org, and find out more about us. Well, now let's go to our discussion for today. And with that, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, Bob. Today we have a question here from Rob. Well, first of all, Rob follows us on YouTube, so thank you for following us on YouTube. And he finds hope and comfort in many of our posts about salvation and eternal security. Rob is a believer, and he has been, he says, a prodigal most of his life, and he still does not bear any fruit. And he's particularly troubled by John 15:2, and it seems to say that people like him are not saved or will lose their salvation. And so he'd like us to explain John 15:2. I'll go ahead and read that.
All right.
Jesus says here, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Looks like Rob is concerned that Jesus taking away, that somehow this means he's going to take away his eternal life or salvation.
Okay. Yeah, good question, Rob. And it sounds like he already knows from John 3:16, John 5:24, etc., that he has everlasting life and can't lose it. But yet he sees this and it bothers him. My suggestion would be, first of all, we always stand on the clear teaching of Scripture. Whatever John 15:2 is saying, it can't contradict John 3:16, John 5:24, etc., right?
Yeah, Jesus is not going to contradict himself.
Exactly. So, Rob, you can stand on that. But secondly, I think it's important to recognize in this verse itself that there are clear hints that he's talking about something other than loss of eternal life. He says, "Every branch in me." A branch in me is a believer. There's no such thing as an unbeliever that's a branch in Jesus. He's the true vine, verse 1, and my Father is the vine dresser. So he's saying, look, I'm the vine. Well, a vine has branches that come off of it, and off those branches comes the fruit. He's saying, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Okay, so in viticulture, which is the name for wine making, there are branches that don't bear fruit, but sometimes it's because they're not getting enough air. They don't get enough aeration. Branches that are going along the ground and aren't up on the trellis, oftentimes they're put on little stilts. They're lifted up on stilts. So there's an issue here in verse 2 on the translation. Notice it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Well, the word takes away is aire from aireo. It means to lift up or to take away. In fact, I have a footnote here in the Hodges Farstead majority text in their interlinear. And this is what they say. Aireo. The verb means lift up, carry away. It most often refers to lifting up some objects, branches here, stones in John 8:59. Compare the synonymous verb analambano. It may also refer to raising something figuratively, like raising your eyes in prayer in John 11:41. The meaning takeaway may be used euphemistically to indicate the destruction of things. For example, the temple in John 11:48, or people, thus execute in Luke 23:18. And then he says, see the use of agapo in Acts 12:19. Aireo is used in two idioms, to lift up or take up the cross. And so that's also aireo. You're taking up the cross or lifting up the cross. That's the end of that note. Gary Derrickson has written an article on our website at faithalone.org, and he has a master's degree from Texas A&M in viticulture and also a doctorate in New Testament from Dallas Seminary. And he says that this should be translated, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. In other words, it's not that he's taking the life. If it's take away, it would ultimately mean God's destruction of that person. Probably initially judgment in this life that's leading toward premature death. And if the person responds well to it, well, then they wouldn't need to die prematurely, but otherwise dying. But the issue is not taking them away to the lake of fire. The issue is that the branch is taken away. And if anyone does not abide in me, verse 6, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. This fire is temporal judgment. Hodges has a good discussion of this. It's not eternal condemnation. It doesn't say they're completely destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's the branches are burned in the fire. Some people see verse 2 as parallel to verse 6, so that it's talking about physical death, premature death. But the other option is Derrickson's option, that it's saying that they're put on stilts, they're lifted up so they might bear fruit. And the idea here is the father, the vine dresser, is seeking to get all branches to be productive. So if a believer is unproductive, God is still at work to produce a good product that they would become productive. But the question is, are verse 2 and 6 parallel, yeah, or are they saying two different things? Mm. It's possible 2 is talking about lifting up and okay, 6 is talking about burning, and those would be two different things.
Okay.
Or if it's takes away, then it would go with verse 6. But either way, the issue is not eternal condemnation. The issue is either judgment in this life, or if it's lifting up, it's God's doing something to make them productive.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
There are a lot of people who are not productive, but it's not necessarily because they're in rebellion against God. They're just baby Christians that have never grown.
And that could be the lifting up reference, and God is still at work in their lives to encourage them to become fruitful and become productive.
Yeah, it would seem like that. But either way, the issue here is not, I mean, you have to read a lot into this to say this is taking away to the lake of fire.
Yeah. The Apostle John has just spent 14 chapters telling you how to have everlasting life. You can't lose it. It'd be very strange if now he's introducing in chapter 15 something that contradicts all that. You know, this has to fit with what he just has talked about for the first 14 chapters.
Look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. The you there refers to the 12. Well, actually refers to the 11.
And I think at this point, Judas had already left the room, right?
That's right. So since he's gone out, and what is that? That's the end of chapter 13, I think?
Yeah, 13:30.
Really interesting, because 13:30 says, having received a piece of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. This is where the music starts playing. Dum, dum, dum. And it was night. It's like he's doing the deeds of darkness in the dark, in the night. So then you're right. He's not there in 15. So when he says you are the branches, he's only talking about the 11. Well, plus Matthias is going to take his place, and ultimately applies to any believer. We're all branches in him. But the point is, in verse 5, it's possible that they might not abide in him. And if not, then they would be cast out as a branch. Now, of course, we know that it's impossible for the 12, because he had said you're going to sit on 12 thrones and rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. So the 11 plus Matthias were guaranteed they were going to persevere. The only people I know of in church history that were guaranteed they would persevere. But what he's talking about in verse 6 applies to other believers. You know, if anyone, any believer, any branch in me does not abide, well, then he's cast out as a branch, and he's going to be burned. And I think the point here is that's temporal judgment, judgment in this life. So good question, Rob, but I don't think there's any question here that eternal destiny is the issue.
Doesn't fit in the context of the Gospel of John. And as you said, Jesus doesn't contradict himself. The Bible doesn't contradict. We need to understand this passage in light of the whole book.
That's, of course, true with the Gospel of John. It's also true with 1 John. If you read 1 John 5, 9 through 13, the one who is born of God is the one who receives the testimony of God, the one who believes the testimony of God. It's not about our works. And if you read Paul's writings, it's real clear all through Paul's writings that the person who's born again is the one who believes in him. For example, 1 Timothy 1:16, I am an example of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. And Paul clearly distinguishes between the free gift of everlasting life and the fruit that can come, like in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If we had to be fruit-bearing in order to get into the kingdom, then Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is a lie. But verse 10 does say, a shift from you to we, but we are Christ's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The we there refers in Jews and Gentiles together in one body, the church. And it's saying the church of Jesus Christ is designed to be fruit-bearing. Now, of course, that involves all the believers in churches, you know, theoretically doing our part. But if some aren't, the church is still to be productive. We don't look and say, well, wait a minute, there's a branch over here that's not carrying its weight. No, we do what God has called us to do. But God will use us to help the other branches, and maybe that's how he lifts them up. I would say, look, if you want to be concerned about bearing fruit, recognize the way we bear fruit is by having God changing our thinking. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let God take your mind and change it, and as he does, your behavior will follow. That means be in a solid Bible teaching church, outside of church, maybe listen to good podcasts, hopefully like this one, and read good blogs and things and read good literature, but make sure you're studying the Word of God. And don't be focusing overly much on yourself, because that's dangerous. You want to focus on Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul said, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image by the work of the Spirit. As we see the beauty of Jesus in Scripture, it changes us. It has a transforming impact. So look at Jesus. Don't look at yourself, Rob. And you're going to find you're experiencing the fruit bearing, even if you're a little hard on yourself. At some point, you're probably going to recognize, yeah, God is working in me.
And this will also help us to keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our next episode, we are saved by faith alone. That's what we believe. But does it also require a prayer or a decision? Join us. Let's talk about it. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.